So I've never slept on stone as a pillow, but I have laid down on a stone slab just once. It was right over there on the floor of this nave. The night that I was ordained, the three ordinands decided to lie down during one part of the service. And so when the assembly stood for the opening prayers, all three of us assumed a prone position to pray. We stretched out our bodies on this cool stone, face down, with our noses and our foreheads and our palms firmly planted on the floor. And then for many minutes, sacred and ancient words washed over us as the floor of this cathedral held us. That night, like it was for Jacob so long ago, stone became this powerful conduit for the transforming power of God. Now this week, the ancestral narrative of Genesis picks up where it left off last week. Jacob has just secured his family's blessing, but you wouldn't know it by the way he acts. Rather than celebrating, Jacob leaves home in a hurry. He flees for his life, dangerously unprepared for what awaits him. He travels without basic essentials needed to survive in the wilderness, and he travels by himself. I wonder if Jacob had second thoughts as he fell asleep under the stars. He was alone and on the run and afraid. Was this all that the family's blessing guaranteed him? If so, maybe stealing his brother's inheritance wasn't such a good idea after all. But God has this way of meeting us in those in-between places, those times when we are caught between a rock and a hard place. Many profound encounters with God happen when people least expect it, and when they need God more than they know. Often, those are times when people are pushed beyond their comfort zones, when their lives have been turned upside down and nothing makes sense anymore. When Jacob's body surrenders to sleep, he discovers this truth for himself. As he falls asleep, Jacob's restlessness gives way to this deeper state of consciousness. And only after he lets his guard down does he see God, and does he hear the good news. God's blessing is Jacob's to savor. Theologian Kendall Sulin says that God's primary work as creator of all things is blessing. God's blessing is none other than the power to communicate life and well-being and wholeness to anything that is other than God. Blessing is the way that God expresses God's own ongoing presence and promise. But this blessing that God extends is not Jacob's alone to relish. Throughout Genesis, God makes clear that this blessing is extended to all families of the earth. And that makes God's blessing a gift to be given away freely, rather than some kind of possession to be coveted. Abraham hears God say this, and so does Jacob. We are bearers of that same gift, and like our ancestors, God longs for all families of the earth to be blessed through us. But how? Sulin says that for genuine blessing to happen, another person, some kind of other thing other than us, has to be involved. Without an other, there is no blessing. Sulin says that God consistently presupposes mutual blessing between those who are different. That difference is not a means to achieve God's purpose for creation. Instead, difference is the goal of creation itself. When difference disappears, so does the possibility of blessing. Blessing and difference go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. That is Jesus' point in this parable today. It is tempting to focus on the anxiety of these unsure stewards. They see difference as a problem. Maybe something is wrong with the seeds that the owner has planted in the field. Maybe the stewards have failed in their care of this field. Either way, these stewards think that until a problem is fixed, no good or desirable outcome is possible. That's what scarcity does to people. Failure is viewed as a weakness rather than an opportunity to learn. Other people become competitors rather than partners. And difference becomes a liability rather than an asset. But Jesus wants to make something clear. Difference is not the issue. Instead, Jesus asks us to consider our perceptions of difference and how those affect others. To put it another way, Jesus asks us to check our bias and then consider the impact that those biases have on those we love and on those we will never know. What Jesus asks of us is deeply personal, and it is all-encompassing. No aspect of our lives is exempt from this critical self-reflection. This reflective work involves a willingness to acknowledge the truth with courage and to hear it with generosity, just as you share it with generosity. And this work can be jarring. As a white woman, I am deeply disturbed by my own blindness to and complicity in a white supremacist culture that elevates my own needs and those of other white people above fellow brothers and sisters of color. And while it may be disturbing, this inner work is exactly what Jesus asks all of us to do. It is what good stewardship is about. It is no mistake that Jesus explains this parable to his disciples only after they go inside. That's where spiritual transformation begins, in our own hearts and minds. That is what inner work is about, this change of heart. It is prayerful work, and it cannot be done alone, isolated or separated from one another and from God. Last week, over 150 people gathered virtually at St. Mark's to engage in some of this reflective work together. It is one step in a very, very long journey that will last the rest of our lives. When difference is affirmed, so is God. Paul discovers this on his own harrowing journey between Jerusalem and Damascus. Peter discovers it too in this odd dream that he has outside the city of Caesarea when he then encounters a Roman centurion. Jesus longs for us to discover that truth too, and then to rejoice because of it. Difference is the fundamental building block that makes this dynamic, interconnected God that we worship possible. And without difference, this promise of God's blessing and presence is not possible. This parable of the wheat and weeds is ultimately a story about growth. It is a lesson in the radical grace of God. Every square inch of ground is sacred, full of possibility and teeming with life. Good seed is scattered everywhere. No inch of this good ground is left untouched by this reckless abundance of God. And no part of our lives is left untouched either. All of life is sacred, even the hard parts. And in the end, those hard parts will grow into something new too. Surely the Lord is in this place and in your places too. Acting right now. What do you notice?